Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation, an application to our daily faith life, is found recorded in the book of Isaiah, chapter 50, verses 4 through 10. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens me, my ear, to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. The Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who is willingly obedient even to the death on the cross, to fellow redeemed. Past few weeks, we've been hearing the word judgment quite a bit in our study of the book of Jeremiah. When we hear the word judgment, very often we think of punishment, condemnation. But the word judgment simply means a verdict. The court's judgment, the court's verdict could be guilty, but it could be not guilty, innocent, a good judgment. In fact, God's judgment upon all of us sinners because of Jesus' perfect life, suffering, and death is just that, not guilty, innocent, in fact, righteous. This morning's sermon text, through prophecy, we will see how that judgment of not guilty and righteous is applied to us, how we receive our salvation. And this prophecy was written some 750 years ago. The one speaking this prophecy, of course, is the servant of the Lord. And from inspiration, from the fulfillment of these words, we see that that is Jesus himself. Jesus is telling us in this text how much he has to suffer for his people. There are two beautiful truths. The first one, in very graphic detail, tells us what would happen to the servant of the Lord, how he would have to suffer, die, and his victory over his enemies. And then in verse 10, you've described for us the benefit of this saving work for all of those who need salvation. Isaiah's message throughout his 66 chapters is a message of hope, a message of comfort. Comfort for the weak, comfort for the helpless, comfort for all of those who are heavy laden with their sins, comfort for those who despair of finding anything within themselves that they can rely upon. In other words, comfort for a child of God like you and me, who this morning came confessing our sins, realizing, acknowledging our own sins, seeing our lost sinful condition because of God's law, the tremendous debt that we owe to God, realizing all of that and are in darkness and despair. Isaiah says, there is a light. There is hope. There is comfort. But only in the Messiah. Only by trusting and rely upon this servant of the Lord. And so we're going to use Isaiah's words from the very first verses of our sermon text for our theme this morning. That is this, a word that sustains the weary. Our first point is, We see how the Lord God sustained his suffering servant, and we are encouraged to trust that he will also sustain us. The Messiah says that he was given two very important gifts from his father: a learned tongue and a learned ear. Literally, the words there mean a tongue adapted to deliver effectively the message that is given to speak. The gift that the Messiah had was to be able to speak words to weary people. He had the gift to be able to speak the gospel message to lost mankind. He came to preach the gospel to the poor. Jesus described it this way. He said, come to me, all you who labor or weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Jesus said one time he had not come to the spiritually healthy people. He had come to the spiritually sick. He had come to speak these words to those who realized their lost, sinful state, to those who realized that they were condemned and damned because of their sins, to those who realized that they couldn't earn their way to salvation because the law shows them to be lost sinners. So he comes and says, learn from me, listen to me, and learn about me. We're told that Jesus taught the people as one having authority, not like the scribes. In fact, even his most ardent enemies had to declare, no man ever spoke like this man. But how did Jesus speak like that? How do you have the ability to speak effectively the message of peace and comfort and rest? He tells us in our text, the Lord God awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear. The word of God was Jesus' constant daily companion. He read it day after day after day. He heard it very often in the synagogue. He had an ear, a learned ear, again, an ear adapted to hear effectively the message that is given in order to speak it. As true man, Jesus had to hear the word of life in the scriptures. He had to have that word of God and be a learner, and he was a learner all of his life. As true man, he received the gift of the Holy Spirit upon him, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of might, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And we see that Jesus always had the right words to speak at the right time, in the right situation, always the right application of law and gospel, comfort and conviction. So often we feel inadequate to help friends who are in need. We can't think of the words to say. We can't think of the proper, appropriate scripture passage or the message of the scriptures to say to them. Jesus never had that trouble. Not because he was true God, because he knew the scriptures and studied them well. Through the Spirit, he received the ability to hear well and to speak well the gospel of salvation. But unfortunately, that good news that he proclaimed to the people was not always received as good news. He had come, he said, to save the lost, to redeem the condemned, to set free the captives. But as a whole, the nation of Israel didn't see themselves as the lost or the condemned or the captives to Satan. And so when he proclaimed those words and led them to see their lost condition, they in their hardness of their heart rejected him, rejected his word. They didn't have a learned ear. And what happened to Jesus? He tells us again in our text. Some 750 years before it happened, the Lord, the suffering servant, says this: I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. From Jesus' passion history, we see that Jesus was beaten and mocked and whipped and spit upon. This was done not only by the leaders of the Jewish Sanhedrin, but by the people, the Jewish people, and by the Roman soldiers. All this Jesus willingly endured in his humiliation to atone for your sins and for mine. In verse 5, we again see our Savior's total willingness. We read, I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. Jesus' will was always to do his Father's will. We read that earlier in our gospel reading. Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before he died, not your will, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus did not draw back from suffering, did not draw back from the cross. Our text says he set his face like flint toward Jerusalem, toward the cross, toward condemnation, toward death. He willingly went through all of this to give to you and me forgiveness, life, salvation. In all of this, we see Jesus as our perfect Savior. Perfect as a child of God in his hearing the word. Perfect as a prophet in speaking the word. And perfect as our substitute in doing God's will. So how could Jesus do all of this? Remember, he emptied himself of his godly powers. He's a human being just like you and me. He tells us in our text again. He says, for the Lord God will help me. Jesus had total and complete confidence in his heavenly Father. That verse has an air of triumph to it. The Lord God, my Father, will help me. Jesus knew it was going to happen to him. He knew that same heavenly Father whom he was relying on and trusting in was going to condemn him and separate him from him and leave him all alone to suffer damnation. And yet he relied upon the Father. He put his confidence and trust in that heavenly Father to give him the strength to be able to endure this suffering and death. As true man, he looked to the Father for help and strength. He often prayed to his heavenly Father. In the high priestly prayer, we hear Jesus saying, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that is me, so that your Son may glorify you. May we learn from those words so that when we have troubles or trials, physical, spiritual trials or troubles, that we turn to our Heavenly Father in Jesus' name and trust we rely upon him to see us through them. Jesus steadfastly set his face toward Jerusalem, his enemies, suffering, death, damnation awaited him. Even his disciples told him not to go to the cross, but he would do his Father's will, no matter what. We have more prophetic words in verses 8 and 9 of our text. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Jesus was falsely accused by the Sanhedrin over and over again. They even tried to bribe some people to make lies about him, and that didn't stick. Pontius Pilate illegally condemned him to death. They couldn't find anything wrong with this man because he was perfect, without sin. Jesus even challenged them. Who can accuse me of sin? No one. The Father would proclaim Jesus righteous. He did that through his resurrection. As for Jesus' accusers, our text says, they'll be eaten by the moths. What a gory picture, a graphic picture of them being condemned by God the Father on Judgment Day. There was no one who could condemn Jesus, no one who could accuse him of sin. And do you know what? Wonderfully, amazingly, there is no one in this world who can condemn you. No one in this world who can accuse you of sin. Not Satan, anyone. It's not because we're perfect or we're righteous. Because God took our sins, laid them on Jesus, declared us to be righteous in Christ, and we're forgiven of all of our sins. The Apostle Paul says much the same words as we read here in Isaiah. In Romans 8, Paul says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect?" Who can charge you and me with sin? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. And then finally, in verse 10, Isaiah encourages us believers who revere his name, who believe in Christ, who trust in the Lord. He says, "Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God." Do you revere? Do you respect? Do you honor Jesus? Do you live obediently to his word as fruits of faith in your life? Do you proclaim the name of Jesus to others? Then you will have to expect opposition, perhaps even ridicule, persecution. And that's why Isaiah encourages us, trust in the Lord. Rely upon the Lord God. Have any of you ever walked in the darkness of sin? Lived in a sinful lifestyle that's not pleasing to God? Fallen into sin that took over your heart, took over your life? Then again, Isaiah says, trust in Jesus. Turn to him for the strength and for the forgiveness that he gives to you in his word. David learned that when he was in distress, when he had fallen to the sin of adultery and murder. He learned in his despair and distress to turn to the Lord. He cried out in Psalm 30, "I will exalt you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you have brought my soul up from the grave." Jesus is the word that sustains the weary. Trust in him, his word. He'll sustain you too. May the Holy Spirit give to each of us, first of all, a learned ear. An ear that hears effectively God's good news of salvation. Effectively hears that one thing that is needed for our heart and soul to rest in Christ. And then may he give to us a learned tongue, to be able to communicate effectively that Jesus Christ is the only Lord and Savior of all of mankind. A learned ear may the Spirit give to each of us, and a learned tongue to speak praises to his name. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.